We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. Welcome in. Big issues, big guest, and some emails, some reports we see. There are some areas across Domtown that are particularly hard hit with the snow so far. Don't know if they're headed toward us, but here in downtown Philadelphia, it is, to use that tired phrase in Washington, I'm getting ready for Pat Toomey, it's a nothing burger. When those guys say that on cable TV, a nothing burger, ridiculous. So Senator Pat Toomey joins us once a month and on other occasions. By the way, because of the weather, don't forget, tomorrow we will not be at the Brooklawn Diner, right there in the heart of Route 130, just over the bridge, South Jersey, convenient to all of South Jersey. Friday, we've changed it to Friday this week, and then it goes back to Thursday for the diner tour. Friday this week, 9 to noon, though. All right, Senator Pat Toomey is with us. And we could use some of this right now in the Spring Dance Hot Tubs call-in line on Talk Radio 1210. Senator, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dom.
Are you in Washington today? Because if you are, I guess all hell breaks loose if the mere snowflake is mentioned.
I actually came home. I've got a family medical situation
that
requires me to be here. It's not serious. Everything will be fine.
Good.
We're not expecting votes today, so I'm probably not missing any votes, but I am actually working from home and watching quite a snowfall in Zionsville.
Hey, I've never asked you this before. What's a good percentage to meet your votes, the number of votes you do, say over a six-year term, when we see someone running for office and you see they were there for X number of votes? What do you think's pretty good? Is it 90% you should make?
You know, I would say if you looked at the current members of the U.S. Senate, I've never done this, so I can't tell you for sure, but I would guess that the average senator is there for probably 95% of
okay.
the votes.
Okay, that's pretty good then, given everything.
That's probably average. Yeah. There's a very small handful that have made a big deal about never, ever missing a vote in their lifetime.
Wow.
But you know, there are a lot of really trivial procedural votes, things that pass 100 to nothing, and it's, you know, like agreeing that it's, you know, that today's Wednesday and, we're going to, you know, be a United States Senate today. Yeah. You know, things that if you miss the vote, there's no consequence, but
so,
anyway, high 90s for many.
Let's get on to the big stuff. And you're certainly a go-to guy on this. And I saw a comment that was in the New York Post. You were interviewed briefly about Gary Cohen going, I think, over the tariff, final straw. Maybe that was a large part of it. What do you think about what we've heard so far? What are your instincts on these tariffs?
Well, I think the tariffs are a big mistake.
Okay.
I think the policy is very, very counterproductive. It makes no sense. It does not accomplish. Look, if there's a problem with steel, if there's a problem that needs to be dealt with, it's a problem of Chinese overcapacity, right? The Chinese, in an attempt to accelerate their industrialization in decades past, they built massive capacity to make steel. And that's true. That's a fact. Well, you can have a good debate about what American policy should be about that fact. You can have a big debate about that. But here's the reality. Because of perceived violations of trading norms, we already punished the Chinese in the past. And today, American imports from China are trivial. They only provide 2% of the steel we import. And by the way, imported steel is only at most a quarter of all the steel we consume. So the U.S., we manufacture 75 to 80% of all the steel we consume domestically. You know what our biggest imported source is for this modest amount that we do import? Is Canada. Oh, and by the way, Canada buys from us as much steel as they sell to us. We just happen to have an almost equal balance as it happens, in trade of steel with Canada. And we're going to. So what we're doing is we're slapping a tariff on Canadian steel, which makes no sense at all. They don't impose that kind of tariff on our steel, but we're doing that. China's completely unaffected because we already don't buy steel from China. Another significant source of steel, but again, it's quite modest because we just don't import all that much, is Mexico. We're in the midst of negotiations there, and we're going to impose this unilateral tariff on their mm-hmm. steel. This is going to raise costs for consumers, right? American consumers pay this price. Let's not kid ourselves or pretend anything else.
But let me argue the people we've had on, and I'm more in the camp in opposition to this, but I'll put in context. They say, Senator Toomey, that it'll be insignificant. You know, we've had guys on, the Navarro guy, who I think is a rising star there, regrettably maybe, says if it's a car of $25,000, you're going to pay $250 more. Big deal.
Yeah, well, he can be cavalier about that, but and it might be more than $250. I think that matters to somebody to say, okay, now you're suddenly going to be forced to pay another $250 for that car, and it doesn't end there either, because the problem is other countries are not going to sit by idly and say, oh, sure, we'll just accept the fact that Americans are going to mm-hmm. find our vehicles uncompetitive, so they're going to retaliate. So now we're going to find that we have less ability to sell Pennsylvania dairy products to Europe or wherever they choose to inflict their retaliation. So it's not only the direct added cost to consumers, which I wouldn't be all that cavalier about forcing Pennsylvanians to pay another $250 for a car, but it's also the lost opportunities to sell our products overseas. And for what? I go back to for what? Unfortunately, you know, the justification here is national security. You know, our Defense Department consumes 3% of American steel consumption,
but if we
make 75 to 80% of that.
The argument is coming out of this: if we got into a war or something like that, wouldn't our need, our capacity, have to go up tremendously?
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe it could like go up. Like, it'd be staggering if it tripled. Right. I mean, because we could, you know, we've got an active purchasing program underway. So let's say it tripled. So we go from 3% to 9%. We produce 75 to 80% of all the steel we need. And I'll go back to who are our major foreign suppliers for the other 25%? It's Canada and Mexico. If we're in a war and we have a huge demand for steel, does anybody think the Canadians won't sell us steel? I mean, that's laughable.
How about the aluminum industry, Senator? There we're told that that's on its last legs, very marginalized, and that's really what has to be protected. Is that a fact, do you think?
So the steel industry, the aluminum is different. There is a higher volume of imported aluminum, but it's interesting. The aluminum, the big aluminum companies in America didn't want these tariffs because they're so integrated globally. They purchase a lot of aluminum from overseas. They then process it. They make the added value. They then sell it to people who turn it into products, and sometimes they do it themselves. They didn't want this to happen. So I don't see how it's good for them if they didn't want it in the first place.
How does this play out in the Senate? We see Mike Lee, I didn't see your name around this, saying maybe the president shouldn't be the one who can unilaterally do it. It should be a matter of Congress. I think that would set up a heck of an intra-party fight.
So actually, I have made this argument, and it's been in a number of stories. And it's not about like picking a fight with President Trump. That's not what it is. I have argued for a long time that Congress has been ceding too much authority to the executive branch for years. We have regulators now that have the power to basically write the equivalent of law. It happens all across our economy, our regulatory area. But there are a few areas where it's more so than in trade, where we grant the president unilateral authority to impose tariffs and quotas and all kinds of trade restrictions. And that's really a delegation of authority. The Constitution grants that authority to Congress. Congress has sort of delegated it to the executive branch. I don't think we should. I think we should take that authority back, because the elected people in Congress should have this authority rather than bureaucrats in the executive branch, or the president for that matter. So I do think some of that authority should come back, with the caveat that legitimate national security concerns should rest with the president.
NAFTA, I wanted to ask you about today. I've never been a fan, as goofy as Perot was versus Al Gore. I always thought this wouldn't help the American worker. I see the arguments out there again today. What a big boost this has been. So here are you representing Pennsylvania. Has NAFTA been a success for us?
Yeah, absolutely it has. Yeah, absolutely. For instance, since we signed NAFTA, Pennsylvania's exports to Mexico are up 500%. I mean, it just totally opened up Mexico to all kinds of chemicals and manufactured goods, transportation equipment, the things that we sell to Mexico, that we sell, that we export generally from Pennsylvania, have gone through the roof. Trade with Mexico and Canada, the exports that we sell to the Canadians and Mexican companies add up to more than we export to the next 10 countries. Mm-hmm. So they're number one and two. You take them together, it equals more than the next 10 countries, including Germany, France, England, China, I mean, the whole list. So this has been enormously beneficial for our economy, enormously beneficial for good-paying export-related jobs. And sure, there's a lot that we import from those countries too. Although with Canada, we have we're basically at neutral, right? We neither have a surplus nor a deficit, about even. Where I strongly disagree with some of the folks in the protectionist camp is running a trade deficit with a country doesn't mean that country is stealing from you. That just means your consumers are buying more from that country than their consumers are buying for us. There are a lot of good reasons why that happens. It's not a it's not this huge problem that some think it is.
Parting question for you on this. I really want to pick your brain. Senator Pat Toomey with us. All these things that we've talked about today then, and I know it's a complicated thing and there are many reasons, the Trump voter and people that you represent in the hinterlands of Pennsylvania, where you know better than I, feel that stuff like this, that Trump was the one Republican speaking to them. What is it that happened here, though, where we have so many people that don't have that manufacturing base across Pennsylvania, at least that I see? What's the trigger? What has to be done to bring that back, if it's possible?
The manufacturing base, you mean?
Yes. In other words, yeah. You know, in the steel towns and the...
Yeah.
You know, like that Mayor Fetterman who represents Braddock and all the things you see in the news.
Sure.
That Pennsylvania, those towns do seem to me, and you visited them much more than I ever did, they seem to be bankrupt. They seem that nothing's going on there. And that's why I think Trump won. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of... Certainly a lot of truth to that. There are a lot of Pennsylvania towns, used to be in heavily industrial towns,
right.
No longer competitive. So let's remember a couple of basics. First of all, the United States of America is the biggest manufacturing country in the world. I have people sometimes say, gosh, they're so worried. We don't manufacture anything anymore. No, actually, we manufacture more than we ever have. Okay, I'll say that again. We manufacture more than we ever have. Total manufactured output is at an all-time record high in the United States, and we remain the world's biggest manufacturer. What has happened is there's been a shift, right? Some of the big, old, heavy industries, we don't have as many work. By the way, total steel output is higher than it's been in 25 years. 25 years, Dom. Now, it's not as big as it. That component is not at an all-time record, but it is higher than it's been in 25 years.
Right.
Total manufacturing is an all-time record, but it does change over time. So, for instance, you know, chemical products, that's many multiples of what it was 15 years ago. And we've got folks in Pennsylvania who have their chemical engineers. They've got great jobs, and they work at these companies like Air Products that make all kinds of gases and chemicals. And so it changes. It evolves. And if you're in a town that was dependent on one particular company or one industry, and that industry has declined, there's no question that is painful, that is a problem, and there's not a quick, easy solution except to have a booming economy that creates other opportunities for those people.
Absolutely. Where do we find all things Pat Toomey?
Toomey.Senate.gov.
Hey, Senator, thank you. Thanks very much for joining us, as always.
Thanks for having me, Dom.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.